Good evening, and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, January 2nd. I'm Gabriel Zucker, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, building fire in Arcata, severe weather, king tides, and flooding impact in northwestern California, and Ray Hamill with the sports report. Stay tuned, those stories and more coming up.
Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiyot, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to this region.
Around 2:30 p.m. today, a structure fire was reported at 823 10th Street in Arcata, where the building was fully engulfed, threatening nearby structures, according to scanners. Nat Cardos, the news director for KMUD News, was on the ground giving updates on the fire. First update was around 2:50 p.m.
This is Nat, live on the scene, Nat Cardos with KMUD News. Currently, let me see what we got. Emergency crews were dispatched around 2:30 to this structure fire by this plaza in Arcata, 823 10th Street. And the building was reported to be fully engulfed with an exposure threat to nearby structures, according to emergency traffic scanners. Emergency personnel on the scene reported a ruptured gas main in the building, adding a bit of hazard to the fire that's currently being fought. The location is in the Ace Hardware parking lot near the kitchen store. Initial reports indicated that occupants may have been inside during the time of dispatch. Fire command requested a truck from Humble Bay, three additional engines, and an ambulance. An Arcata all call was issued as crews continue to respond. As of reporting right now, this is still an active incident, but I'm literally looking at a fire right now.
The next update came at 3:25.
All right. Zach Carter reporting for KMUD. Update as of 3:25 in the afternoon. About four buildings are affected. There's partial collapse on one of them where the fire initially started. A wall came down. There are still tons of firefighters on the scene. Lolita, Rio Dell, and Neyland Fire were all dispatched to Arcata at approximately 3 o'clock. Still, engines are showing up, and they've got about, like, 3-4 hoses on it, if not more. They're trying to really maintain not letting the paint hard to keep it from getting to the paint section, the paint portion of Ace Hardware, because there's an obvious chemical problem there. Plus, the whole gas main still presents a pretty hazardous fire for the firefighters. So, that is an update as of 3:25, and I will provide further updates as the situation develops.
Last update came at 5:10. The fire was still burning, but much smaller than when it started, with firefighters still in the area. Cardos also gave an update on road closures because of the fire.
Businesses within approximately 3 blocks of the fire have been closed since about 8. Parts of 9th Street, I Street, 10th Street, and H Street are all closed due to staging for the fire.
Northwest California is heading into a weekend of dangerous weather. A combination of heavy rain, strong winds, and king tides are already flooding parts of Humboldt County, including King Salmon. According to Kathleen Zonto, a service hydrologist for the National Weather Service in Eureka, this is not just one hazard. It's several stacking up at once.
We have several weather hazards that are going to impact the region. Pretty much we have a storm system coming through that's going to be strong winds and heavy rain. And then in addition to that, we're going to see some high astronomical tides, or king tides, impact the coastal areas.
Flooding has already impacted several locations around Humboldt County, especially King Salmon.
We already observed some pretty significant flooding around Humboldt Bay with the high tide today. We're expecting high tides to impact the coast again tomorrow and even Sunday.
According to Rachel Capistrano, an administrative analyst for Humboldt County Roads, entire neighborhoods are being affected.
Currently, roads flooded. So all of King Salmon, we've actually closed due to flooding. So we have all of King Salmon Avenue, Halibut Street, Perch Street, Crab Street, Soul Street, Herring Street, Cod Street, and Boone Drive.
She was able to talk with the road supervisor in King Salmon about the flooding.
Speaking to the road supervisor of that area, his opinion is that he's never seen it that flooded in years past. So this is something new that he's experiencing. This is something that is kind of life-changing and we've never seen really before in recent years.
Zonto relayed a request from the Office of Emergency Service.
I know the Office of Emergency Services requested that people stay away from King Salmon right now because the Community Service District was there trying to help just alleviate the stress on the sewers and the water lines. And so I don't know the specific details about that, but there's a lot of people working there and trying to assist with all that water. And it's, I believe some the water got in people's homes. And so they, on Facebook, the Humboldt Office of Emergency Services recommended reaching out to the Red Cross if you don't have a place to sleep tonight from the flood water.
Zonto explained, this flooding is being caused by king tides mixing with the other weather.
What caused the flooding around Humboldt Bay and King Salmon area are king tides. So these are really high astronomical tides. The tides can be calculated out like a year in advance, and we would know exactly how high the water level can reach in various areas along the coast. But we'll often get kind of a storm surge, and that piles the water up a little bit higher on top of the tide water, and that causes the water levels to be a little higher than normal. And so we'll see this when we have storms coming into the coast, when we get prolonged south winds across the coastal waters. That's another mechanism that kind of helps turn the water and push against the north coast. And so right now, we had really big tides in the forecast, and then there's about an extra foot or more of water on top of that. And so that is what generated these really high tides that brought extreme flooding to King Salmon today.
This created a record water level reading on the tide gauge at the North Spit. It set an all-time high of 10.01 feet. According to Zonto, the previous record was 9.98 feet on December 31st, 2005. The flooding is not the only threat this weekend. The strong storm system, combined with high winds, will make travel very difficult. Zonto explained the forecast for the weekend, looking at high tides and the rain forecasts.
So the high tides generally are going to be in the late morning hours, and these are the highest tides of the day. And so usually an hour before and an hour or two after high tide is when you could see flood impacts from the ocean. And so we suggest people just stay back, or if you're along the coast and you see some flooded roads, that could be salt water, but just be mindful that around Saturday, mid-late morning, for much of the coast, I think around 10 to 11 a.m. is when high tide is, and so there could be coastal flood impacts around then. And then I think Sunday morning, it's a little bit later, around 11 to 12-ish.
She explained ways to prepare for this weekend's weather.
Ways you can prepare for wind impacts and flood impacts is wind, just anything that's loose in your yard that can blow around, get it put away, get it strapped down so it doesn't blow, you don't lose it, or it doesn't become a flying object that can be dangerous. And then preparing for floods is really, it depends on where you live. If you live near areas that tend to flood when we get a lot of rain, be aware of that. You can use the weather forecast to make your plans. If you need to do sandbagging, and that's for the areas where that tend to see river flooding when we see heavier rain. Preparing your yard or your property for the small stream flooding by using sandbags. And these are the flood-prone areas that we tend to see every winter, and especially with the last several storms, too.
Both Capistrano and Zonta shared advice for staying informed of this weather. Capistrano urged residents to sign up for text and email updates by going to humboldtgov.org/roads, where there will be information to sign up for road conditions in Humboldt. Zantop summarized the many weather hazards and emphasized safety for drivers when approaching flooded areas.
We have a lot of weather, or a lot of weather hazards that we're expecting this weekend, and we have flooding from the high tides. And then we're also expecting possible flooding from rainfall, from like fresh water running off and small streams flooding out of their banks. So I understand it can get kind of confusing on where exactly the flooding is coming from, but something we just always want to remind people is if you see a road that's flooded, don't drive through it. It's just better safe than sorry. Turn around. And plan for some of these roads that you've seen flooded from coastal flooding, the saltwater flooding along the immediate coast, and also plan for the flooded roads that tend to flood when these small streams get full and come out of their banks. So no matter where the water's coming from, we just want people to avoid driving across flooded roads.
When record tides, heavy rain, and strong winds all converge, have officials say this weekend could remain dangerous across Humboldt County. With record tides, heavy rain, and strong winds all converging, officials say that this weekend could remain dangerous across Humboldt County. For now, the message from emergency officials is clear. Stay informed, stay prepared, and when in doubt, turn around. And Ray Hamill with the sports report.
The HDNL teams will tip off league play in basketball next week with a full slate of games scheduled. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the upcoming league schedule in just a moment as we take a look at all of this week's big local sports stories, including how the local high school basketball teams fared in tournament action this week, all the latest college basketball news, and why 2026 could be a good year for one local girls wrestling team in particular. But first up, league play tips off next week for the HDNL boys and girls basketball teams, with at least one of the four conference championships expected to go right down to the final night. The action gets underway on Tuesday night with a pair of Big Five boys games. Four-time defending conference champion Arcata opens with a tough assignment at Del Norte, while the Eureka Loggers open at McKinleyville. The Fortuna boys have an opening night bye before tipping off their conference campaign at Arcata High School 2 days later. The race for this year's Big Four Boys Championship is expected to be wide open and very competitive, with no clear frontrunner at this stage. The Big Five girls, meanwhile, begin conference play on Wednesday night, with Arcata playing at Del Norte and Eureka hosting McKinleyville. The Fortuna girls also have an opening night bye before tipping off their conference schedule at home against Arcata on Friday of next week. All eight Little Four programs will also begin conference play next week. The boys' teams begin on Thursday night, with Hoopa travelling to South Fork and Ferndale hosting St. Bernard's. The Little Four girls' teams tip off conference play the following night, with Ferndale travelling to play at St. Bernard's and South Fork playing at Hoopa. Several of the HDNL teams continued their preparation for conference play at various tournaments this past weekend. In boys' action, a busy Eureka Loggers team played two non-tournament road games over the weekend, falling at Ukiah 64-59 and beating Kelseyville 55-34. The Loggers continued their preparation for league play at the Enterprise Tournament this week, defeating West Valley 72-41 in their tournament opener before falling to University Prep 83-65. The Eureka boys are now 7-5. The Arcata boys travelled south for the Marin Catholic Tournament and lost all four of their tournament games, losing to Marin Catholic, Urban, Casa Grande, and International, and dropping to 6-11 on the season. The Tigers played most of the tournament without senior Luke Lemke, who suffered an injury in the opening game and did not return, although head coach Kellen Maynard expects to have the senior guard back on the court for their Big Five opener next week. Also this week, in a non-tournament game at St. Bernard's on Saturday night, the host Crusaders got the better of the McKinleyville Panthers by a score of 85-73. The high-flying Crusaders, who have won five straight games, are now 9-1 on the season as they get set to play at the Nike Tournament of Champions in Phoenix this weekend. The Crusaders are ranked number 9 overall in the North Coast section. The St. Bernard's girls, meanwhile, travelled to Huntington Beach this week to play at the Surf City Holiday Classic and won three of their four games in tournament play, including a thrilling 50-47 overtime win over San Luis Obispo. The Crusaders, who are the favourites in this year's Little Four, are now 10-4 on the season. The Ferndale and Fortuna girls were both in action at the West Coast Jamboree tournament in the Bay Area this week, and both teams impressed. The Huskies won all three of their games on the way to winning the Quartz bracket, including an exciting 54-53 win over Amador Valley in their semi-final and a 40-34 win over Ridgeview in Tuesday's championship game. Fortuna freshman Kalea Parkinson was named tournament MVP, while teammates Taylor Huesler and Evelyn Little were both included on the all-tournament team. The Ferndale girls competed in the Topaz bracket and won two of their three games. The Wildcats opened with back-to-back victories over St. Vincent de Paul and Pacheco before losing to Division II Maria Carrillo 58-55 in overtime in Tuesday's bracket final. The Fortuna girls are now 11-3, while Ferndale is 10-3. Both schools will face off in a non-tournament showdown at Ferndale High School on Tuesday night. In local college basketball, meanwhile, the College of the Redwoods men will play their final pre-conference game at home against Cuesta on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. The Corsairs last played on the Sunday before Christmas, where they fell 101-81 to Santa Rosa at the Kris Kringle tournament, and they are now 10-7 on the season. They will tip off the Golden Valley Conference on Wednesday of next week at Shasta College. The CR women returned to action this week, hosting Southwestern Oregon on Monday and winning 64-57 to go to 7-7 on the season. The Corsairs will play a pair of road games this weekend against Mission on Friday and Skyline on Saturday before also tipping off their conference schedule at Shasta on Wednesday of next week. Both Cal Poly Humboldt teams will also be in action this weekend, hosting conference games against Cal State Dominguez Hills on Friday night and Cal State Los Angeles on Sunday afternoon. The Humboldt women are enjoying their best start to the California Collegiate Athletic Association in several years after winning their first four conference games. The Jacks, who are 6-4 overall, are tied for the conference lead with Cal Poly Pomona and Chico State. The Humboldt men are 2-2 in conference and 4-6 overall. In local high school wrestling, meanwhile, 2026 looks like it could be a very good year for the Arcata girls program. The Tigers, who are the defending HDNL champions, are expected to be the team to beat in league competition once again this winter with a sizable roster of 18, including impressive freshman Taylor Bell, who is undefeated on the year after winning an individual championship at the competitive Brittany David Invitational Tournament at Liberty High School earlier this week. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
In state news, California braced for higher costs as ACA subsidies expire. Public News Service's Suzanne Potter reports.
The state has allocated $190 million to help people afford their premiums, but that will only shield the lowest income families. Ann Sunderland with the California Healthcare Foundation says many middle-income families on Covered California will see premiums rise by hundreds or even thousands of dollars a month.
Think of an individual making more than, say, $63,000 a year, or a family of four earning more than $130,000. They're returning to the days where they got no federal subsidies. Those are the folks who might see their premium double or sometimes even more than double.
Covered California estimates that hundreds of thousands of residents will not be able to afford the increases and will drop coverage altogether. I'm Suzanne Potter.
In national native news, Antonio Gonzalez reads today's headlines.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In our last story, we shared how leaders with the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Treatment and Recovery Services say they're making strides in opioid addiction treatment. That includes work through Great Circle Recovery in Oregon. The tribe also provides transitional housing services through Main Street Recovery, a program with supportive housing, which also helps address mental health and addiction services on site. Kelly Rao is the Executive Director of Health Services for the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde.
Instead of having to go to a facility where you might get 21 days or 28 days, that's really been something that is more prescribed by insurance than it really is for the best thing for a person to have. We're not putting a limit on that. We're saying what is good for you is what we want you to do. We're letting them stay as long as they need to get well. So that's become another piece in the continuum of care for us. So we're really working hard to make sure people can get well, and we're creating a whole community of recovery here at the reservation.
Culture is a key aspect in the services, says Jennifer Worth, the operations director for Main Street Recovery.
Being able to provide that holistic approach with access to mental health and substance use, and kind of figuring out what the needs are and being able to tailor that to each person that comes through. There's lots of activities and different things that we're able to take the residents to. So for instance, tomorrow they're going to be working on making paddles. And the other day they came in and they had been part of this carving class, and they had all carved this ladle that's going to be used for a future service that we'll be adding on site at Main Street. So things like that are really important.
Brian Crable is a canoe maker who teaches paddle making and canoeing.
The canoe has just brought back so much, our way of life, all around the canoe. That bucket brigade line that we feel when we're all pulling together, we're all going forward, we're all making that forward movement, and it helps with our noggins. If you should need it. If you don't, you're good. But if you should need some help of motivation and pushing you forward and to try new things, however that is, that are good for you, and it's wicked fun.
For people on their mental health and recovery journey, having trusted support is of great value, says Sydney Clark, a recovering addict and peer support specialist supervisor with the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde.
I walk with them, letting them know that they're not alone and that it's okay to reach out. It's okay to feel scared, and it's okay to question things, because I didn't know what I could question and what I couldn't question, and go into meetings having someone sit there with you that might know those questions to ask, because that trauma that you're going through right then and there. I've always loved helping people because it helps feed my soul to be able to learn what would help us grow as a tribe. And each one of us play a big role in peer support, helps get people walk through a door that they normally probably would have never, ever walked through.
Highlighted throughout the services is the resilience of Indigenous people, says Rao.
My hope is that we can get out of this cycle of seeking out artificial substance to hide our pain, to hide our trauma, that we're not afraid to let that out and to seek out our cultural ways to heal ourselves. For us, and especially health and wellness, it becomes this plan of no matter who you are, at what stage of life you're in, we're here for you. And we want you to be able to become a part of something bigger, and that when you're ready, we're here for you.
This story is a collaboration with First Nations Experience Television with support from the Public Welfare Foundation. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Dennis Marr, and thanks to our reporters, Nat Cardos, Suzanne Potter, and Antonia Gonzalez. K KMA News is online, you can find us on KMA.org, now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605, or send an email to news@KMA.org. Redwood Community Radio, Inc. is funded by Press Forward, a national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Gabriel Zucker.